Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Thank you for listening to Spin, the Rally Pod, brought to you by Dirtfish Rally School. For your chance to experience life behind the wheel of a rally car, head to drive.dirtfish.com to find the course that's right for you. What are you waiting for? We're right here waiting for you.
Well, hello, Dirtfish Rally friends, and welcome back to Spin the Rally Pod. It's myself, Colin Clark, on this one with our head of media, David Evans. David, it's always lovely to be sitting, talking, rallying with you, but particularly in this gorgeous location. Just paint the picture about where we are.
Ah, where do you start, Cole? What sea's that? That's the Southern Ocean. Southern Ocean, South Atlantic.
I think it's the Southern Ocean.
So we're looking out over Chile. Chile or South America.
It's the Antarctic down there.
Antarctic, yeah. Basically, we're at Brighton Rugby Club. South of Dunedin. It is a beautiful, sunny Sunday afternoon. The majority of people around here have got a bottle of Spates or Steinlager in hand. Colin and I have abstained, as we have all weekend. And it's the end of the Otago Rally. It's always a bit of a sad one to be here, isn't it? Because we just said in the review there that Friday morning comes and you're super excited. It's a bit of recce and then it's ceremonial start in the octagon on Friday night. And bang, it's Sunday afternoon. It's time to go home again.
It's just remarkable, isn't it? It's quite an incredible setting here. As David said, it's a beautiful spot right on the ocean. On the rugby pitch, David. But, you know, 130 cars. It was an incredible event. 270 kilometres, 130 cars. Such an incredible variety of cars and all driven and presented beautifully.
And I think the key thing that you've got to get across, Cole, is that, yeah, there's 100, probably, I don't know, 100 odd cars. I can't think that there's been a single delay through today.
No.
And 16 stages, all of them run on time, one of them in the city centre.
Yeah.
It's perfect. 150, 160 kilometres yesterday, and we were done by 3:30 in the afternoon.
It was remarkable.
Every one of them is a new stage, no repeated stages. Norm and Roger Oakley, you've got to, and there's Rog just driving by now. we've got to take our hat off.
Yeah.
They do a superb job. And it's great, you know, the whole community, the whole South Island rally community gets involved with this event. And there's a lot of hype, there's a lot of hyperbole about Otago Rally, but it's worth it. And you've only, watch some of the footage from Chris Meek. You know, he says it far, far better than we could.
Yeah, absolutely. When you get the chance, go have a look at our YouTube channel and take a look at our review of the Otago Rally and listen to Chris Meek's words, because you know what? He's eloquent at times, isn't he, Chris? When he gets excited by something, he really is eloquent. He talks beautifully, and he did talk beautifully.
He started his working career as an engineer. Mm. But the other morning, how many drivers know that the price of gold has risen overnight? You know, and what stock market is doing. And he's a very intelligent man.
He lost us, didn't he? He started talking about, what causes inflation and the markets. And, you and I thought, oh dear, now's the time to get out of this conversation. Chris Meek was the superstar this weekend in the Rosendale Escort. And, we've seen some great drives from various people. In recent years, we've had Mads Osberg, Mikko Hirvonen, Pasi Hagström. In the past, we've had Ari Vatanen, we've had
Michel Mouton.
Just an absolute incredible list of names that have competed in that car. But Chris Meek, again, has got into it and had a complete ball out here. And he's won the classic section of the rally, which is kind of what we expected.
Absolutely. He is a world-class driver. And from the get-go, from Saturday morning, he was immediately quicker than Dean Burst and Richie.
Yeah.
In the
Richie Dalton. Sorry. Oh, he was magnificently entertaining. Richie Dalton.
And totally committed and great. Yeah, it was fantastic to see Chris down here and Brandon Seminook as well.
Yeah.
Proper superstars. You know, you forget that New Zealand is all about adventure. We're 3.5 hours up the road from Queenstown, which is the adventure capital of the world. And
it's where they invented bungee jumping.
It's exactly that, Cole. I've done that.
And zorbing.
That jump. Yeah, zorbing less interesting. Really.
Oh, well, a lot less interesting, but it was invented there.
I think lots of mad things have been invented there. And it's great. And people have come out in their absolute droves. And it's great because we've had a huge number of people following Meek as rally fans. But then there's been people that have never really watched a rally. Mm-hmm. And they've come out to see Seminook because, you know, they're absolute mad keen mountain bikers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, there's no question. There's no question he is a proper star out here. And I think he enjoyed himself. He was in a Subaru, as you would expect. It was an H6 Subaru, which I guess a lot of you probably haven't come across before. It's very much a New Zealand-derived piece of engineering, isn't it? And they're a lot of fun. They're cheap, fun rally cars. Nothing is cheap. Rallying is never cheap. So it's inexpensive.
Talking to Jeff Judd, who's company Magnum Motorsport, is it Magnum?
I think Jeff's
the guy that builds these H6s, these six-cylinder Imprezas. And I asked him, don't worry, family at home, I'm not genuinely thinking about it, but I just said, how much if I wanted to come down and hire one of these cars? And he said $8,000 or $9,000 New Zealand dollars. That's £4,000, and that gets you on the stages. Okay, you've got to put some fuel in it, and you've got to put some tires on, and you've got to fly yourself down here and sleep somewhere. But that's not...
For 270-plus kilometres.
Single pass. Exactly. Ugh. It is insanely reasonable. And for me, if I was a rally driver of any repute with a bit of means behind me, I would be getting on the phone to Judy and booking a car for next year.
And saying, keep that one for me.
Yeah.
Totally.
Probably not right now, Brandon Seminooks, which has been on its roof in Currybush.
Not too badly done. Nah. Actually, was it, you know, maybe a new panel or two and some new headlights. It'll be absolutely like new...
Yeah, exactly. It'll polish out.
Of course it will. Absolutely, of course it will. A quick word for our winner. It was a great job by Jack Hawkswood. He really was very, very impressive indeed. Great battle with Robbie Stokes all weekend, but Hawkswood was disciplined out there, David.
He was, in a way that a lot of people, I don't think, really expected him to be. We don't know Jack Hawkswood terribly well, but there was something of a reputation that, you know, he gets into these positions and then sometimes struggles to keep it in the middle of the road. He drove absolutely brilliantly. He established himself in the lead Saturday morning and just controlled the event. Robbie took a wee bit of time out of him first thing this morning. Didn't panic, Jack. Just kept on doing what he was doing, and just enormous pride from Andrew Hawkswood, friend of ours who flew us around in Auckland in his heli. Lovely bloke, lovely family, and just great to see.
Really great to see, yeah. And congratulations to Ben Hunt, who was in third place. He did a great job out there as well. So, as David mentioned, we have to thank the organisers of this rally for once again bringing us down here, bringing Dirtfish down here to help cover the event. And you know, they've looked after us beautifully. They treat us so well down here. It really has been, once again, an exceptional weekend in Dunedin and the Otago region. But what are we looking forward to, David? Well, you are looking forward to getting back on a plane and heading home for 12 hours, something like that, 14 hours, and then heading off to Croatia, onto the tarmac again for the World Rally Championship. It's going to be a fascinating week there.
Oh, Colt, I couldn't be more excited. For various reasons, I missed Sweden and then missed Safari as well. Well, I didn't miss Safari. George Donaldson was not going to let me take his seat at the Dirtfish table in Kenya. It's been a while since I was out last in WRC, and to get back there is just incredibly exciting. And Croatia, it's always a fantastic event. It's kind of, you don't want to say the first normal event, but it's the first non-specific European event. Monte can be snowy and icy in a compromised setup. Sweden obviously is the winter round. Safari is the super rough challenge in Africa. This one, it starts a run of, I don't know, five or six events with just two or three weeks between them. So yeah, it's great. Really, really looking forward to it. It's fantastic. What more can you say?
Yeah, well,
I'm sure you can say a bit more.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about the event, because you know, we've seen different weather conditions in various editions of this event. You know, and it really does at times dictate how things are going to play out. And you know, we've seen obviously first on the road here being absolutely the place to be. Occasionally, if the rain comes down, it isn't the place to be, you know, because it does, the rain does sit. We do get puddles out there, big puddles out there, and the roads can be quite messy at times. It's going to be interesting to see really the approach, the weather we get, then the approach out there, in particular I think from Thierry Neuville, because he's battled his way to the lead. It was a strange old event for him again, the safari this year, but he came out with plenty of points, and he starts right now in pole position on this one.
He does, again, depending on the weather. If we get some rain, if we get that, it is going to be difficult, because it will pull out a lot of mud and a lot of muck into the road. But yeah, I think Thierry, the thing with me for Thierry is that the momentum of his year is building. You know, he's been in some of these positions before where he's had a good start, but not a start like this. To be leading the championship consistently from round one, okay, we've only done three rounds, but you get the feeling with Thierry that it's building.
Okay,
so Hyundai is quick to say that they're still behind Toyota. They can't be that far behind. Car is quick and getting quicker, I think.
Yeah, I think in terms of pace, there is no question that it's absolutely a match, and probably actually a little quicker than the Toyota. But it is that consistency. And we have seen it before on tarmac, the Hyundai drivers struggling to find a balance. You know, they have to go in on the first morning with a setup that works. But it's that balance, it's that oversteer, understeer that we do here way, way too often with a Hyundai that plagues them on tarmac.
Yeah, it does. And I guess, you know, that again, it's going to be condition specific.
Yeah.
Having said that, you know, that this is not a specific rally. I guess it is, because, you know, the weather can impact so much. And the weather comes in very, very quickly into Croatia, as we've seen. You know, it's some very wet Sundays in years gone by, but it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be a great battle. Elvin Evans he won in Croatia last year. He could desperately do with a repeat victory. But you've got Sebastian Ogier coming back.
Yeah.
He's, you know, Oit Tanak there as well.
Tanak's the one that really needs a performance. Tanak's having an absolute nightmare, David. Back to Hyundai, expecting to put a championship challenge together. He's a long way from putting a championship challenge together on the evidence of the first three rounds.
Definitely. And he would, I'm sure, hold his hand up and say the first two, he was in a ditch or in a snowbank where he shouldn't be. Safari was tough.
Safari was a little bit unlucky. You know, rock, there wasn't an awful lot he could do about it.
No, he was committed in the corner. Yeah. There's not a lot, like you say, that you can do there. He needs a result. And it's incredible how quick momentum can swing. And if Oit could put a result together in Croatia and then one together in Portugal, he's right back. So, you know, it's very easy to sit here after three rounds and say championship's looking very difficult for Oit. There's a long, long way to go in this season.
A very long way to go. Well, what we've found in recent years in the championship is it is difficult to get the momentum going again. Really difficult. You know, once you're playing catch-up, the pressure starts to build. The pressure starts to build on the driver. The driver puts pressure on the team. Oh, it is difficult. But as you rightly say, we're three rounds in. We haven't hit the consistent European rounds yet.
What are your thoughts? I think Tanak, historically, he was a driver that could deal with pressure.
Yeah.
Can he? Is the pressure going to get to him now?
It's a really difficult one, isn't it? Because I'm not sure which Tanak we're seeing out there these days. I'm really not sure. You know, I really expected him in the first three rounds here to be... Okay, as you say, he's made a couple of mistakes and a bit of bad luck. I expected him to be right there, and he's not. I don't know. I would say under normal circumstances, yeah, of course he can deal with the pressure. He's got absolute... almost antifreeze running through his blood at times. It just doesn't get to him. But he was under pressure we saw him at the side of the road at one point, and he was absolutely losing it. There was a lot of pressure at times on him in Safari, and it was quite un-Tanak-like. So, no, I'm not concerned. I'm really not concerned yet about the championship. It is not as yet. It's a long way from a two-horse race, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, it
is. Will take a good result for Tannock. And as we've seen in the past with Thierry, with Elvin, you know, it is one mistake and then whatever lead you had is all gone, completely gone, and it's back on again for the opposition. So, no, Tannock is a bit of an enigma these days for me.
In fairness, I think he always has been. There's, you know, you've never really known the real Oik Tannock. Obviously, you know, he plays his cards fairly close to his chest and he just gets some of the driving. So, question for you. Chances of a third a podium hat-trick for Adrian Formo?
100%, David. I mean, who can forget his debut in the World Rally Car there, what, 3 years ago, when he was unbelievably quick and looked so comfortable on what was considered one of the most difficult tarmac rallies. Formo has... Here's the big thing with Formo. Formo is a guy who does not lack self-confidence. And you'd have to say, 14 months ago, when he was having that terrible season in the Rally 1 cars, there was an arrogance to him. There's now a confidence about him that's not arrogant, but it's a knowing confidence that he knows that if things come together, if he does what he has to do, if the team do what they have to do, he will be contesting podiums on every single event this year. And he's got genuine, genuine pace on tarmac. Yeah, I think there's every chance that you'll get a third podium in a row here.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, but that great, great result that he achieved in what was it, the first Croatia 21 or something, it was a little bit undermined when he had that
off.
Yeah, caught out in again in changeable conditions.
Yeah, yeah,
and ended up in Martin's front yard or whatever it was.
No, that was the next year, wasn't it?
That was 22. That was the first year of Puma.
Yeah, but didn't he make his debut the year before? The first,
yes.
And he got in the car and he was really, really quick. And he went wide on the final day, I seem to remember, and just slipped off the road. What? Am I getting confused?
I think we probably should dive into our second favourite website, EWRC-results, and have a look.
And have a quick look.
Come back to us.
No, when he went into the garden, that was
22.
That was 2 years ago.
But you're right, you know, he has changed. Yeah. He's evolved. And again, you've got to take your hat off to M Sport, to Malcolm Wilson, taking him away from a little bit of pressure last year and just giving him that opportunity to rebuild. It's worked really well. It would be great to see Grégoire Munster having a strong event.
Another one that's had a difficult start. Three mistakes in three rallies.
Yes. He needs to just build his confidence now.
He needs to just understand where he's at this year. This year is an unbelievable opportunity for him. Nobody expects him to do anything.
No.
So he has to make the most of it and make... you know, that opportunity pay. And that opportunity paying is him staying on the road and getting through every stage.
Yeah,
big ask, I suppose. But, you know, going back very quickly to Adrian Formo, I would call it almost a humbleness about him, but not in a sickly way. It's a humble acceptance of where he's at now. Humble acceptance of the fact that he is now knocking on the door of those world-class drivers. But it's a formula. You mentioned Malcolm. It's a formula that has worked for Tannock. It worked for Elvin Evans.
Mm.
And you'd have to say it's looking as if it's working for Formo. It's great stuff. Great stuff to see. It really is.
All right, totally. And as long as he keeps the car on the road, it keeps, you know, doesn't necessarily need another podium now, but just keep middle of the road and keep building, taking the experience. It's strong. But
let's talk a little bit more then about Elvin Evans, because... you know, it's the same old story. We keep talking about, well, you know, he's not found that sweet spot yet in these Rally 1 cars. And he hasn't. He hasn't found it yet. You know, at times in Africa, he was really disappointing. But he did what he had to do. Didn't make any mistakes. Is that going to be enough to see him coming to the final round or two of the season still in the hunt for the championship this year? If he can't find... say he can't find that sweet spot. So he can find it, which is possible. Unlikely, but it is possible. He can still win the championship.
Of course he can. Of course he can, because Thierry can crash. Tannock can continue to have a bit of a nightmare. Everything's possible. But I do think, I think in some ways, Elvin was nervous of Kenya. Kenya's bitten him in the past. The Sunday was, like you said, a Sunday was disappointing. There was some progress through Friday, Saturday. But from here, we need to see Elvin absolutely on the money. Yeah. He's won here, he won in Croatia last year. He can win again.
Should have won it 3 years ago. Remember that final stage battle where he just made that tiny mistake on, what, the penultimate corner?
Yeah, exactly. So he's got the pace, and we know that, yes, Thierry Neuville's very, very good on tarmac. So's Elvin Evans.
Oh, listen, Elvin Evans, a few years ago, you'd have said was maybe the best driver we had on tarmac.
Yeah.
Maybe, right up there, certainly right up there with Ogier. So I'm looking forward to it. It could be another epic battle out there, and it may be a little bit weather-dependent, but it could well be. And we know that in Croatia, the fans turn out in enormous numbers.
Yeah.
It's a great atmosphere, isn't it?
It is a great atmosphere. And for me, the weather does add that. Just, it throws in the curveball that you sometimes need just to really spice things up. And go into Sunday, if we've got some rain, some cloud around and people aren't quite sure, what's a big enough lead? You know, if you're considering taking a soft tire or whatever, or, you know, even the super wet tire, then it can make a massive difference. You know, you can see minutes getting shipped on stages when you get an absolute deluge. So we have that potential for weather madness, which is great. But like you say, it's always a super well-supported event. Zagreb, beautiful city, great roads, great Andreas Mikkelsen as well as Sebastian Ogier back. Great to see Mikkelsen out again. Still quite surprised that Hyundai have selected Andreas as their tarmac driver. Not
any. Okay, it was his first event back in Monte Carlo, but he was lost at times in Monte Carlo. That's for sure.
I think he found himself a little bit on the Sunday, and I think as well we need to be aware that it was his first time back in the car, and he was wary of pushing too much. The team had been pretty sensible with him and told him what they wanted and wanted the car at the finish. So, you know, I think he bagged sixth or something in Monte. So it's not the end of the world.
Nope.
And he, obviously, he did some testing on the new Hankook tyre, and he did the event in Italy. But the one thing that he said when I spoke to him before both of those days was that he genuinely loved the car.
Mm.
Loved the car on tarmac. Said it was a real race car, completely different to the tarmac car that he stepped out of at Hyundai in 18 or 19, whenever it was. So, there's a lot of elements in Croatia this week that it's going to be fascinating.
It really is. It's a pity we don't have young Robin Perra there, because he gave us perhaps one of the greatest stages of his life. What was it, 2 years ago, in the rain on that final power stage, the rain and the mud. We all thought, he's on the wrong tyres, he's going to lose this one.
That was insane.
How wrong were we?
Yeah.
You know?
And that was just an absolute lesson in what an absolute world champion can do. It was, you know, it was air and centre in Donington Park, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's what a naturally gifted driver who doesn't have to think about what he's doing can do. And he didn't. It just all came to him. It was just the most magnificent stage to watch. Go back and watch it if you get the chance on, I don't know where you see that, Rally TV, I guess, or YouTube. It'll be somewhere, won't it?
Yeah.
It'll be somewhere to watch. So what else, David? What else are we looking forward to in Croatia next weekend?
We are looking forward to, I'm just going to have a very quick look at the entry list, because
in front of him. I have to say, I'm having to open the door here. We're in the car. It's gone a little quiet. You can maybe hear in the background, there was a Mark 1 Escort there. There were all sorts of cars going past us, just heading back.
In terms of WRC2, Oliver Solberg not there. Gus Greensmith is there but not there. He's not scoring points. That's right, isn't it? Gus is going.
Yep.
So the WRC2 leaders Johan Rossell, Pepe Lopez. These guys are going to be great to watch. Obviously, there's always a big fight for that category, and it will be fascinating. Greisen's there, Nicholas Seaman's there, Lauri Uni.
Can you see anyone beating Rossell?
No,
I think maybe the
Lauri Juna, sorry.
It was a good effort. It was a good effort.
With our friend Yanni Hussey, who went missing from the Spin the Rally Pod.
Yeah.
If you haven't listened to that one, go back and listen to that. That was a great one with the Finnish ladies.
It really was fantastic. It'll be interesting to see the Toyota, for sure, on the first full tarmac round in the championship for the Toyota. It'll be really interesting, but I can't see anyone beating the young Frenchman. I mean, he's been so quick in that Citroën over the last 2 years on tarmac.
He absolutely exudes confidence, doesn't he? You know, in Monte, we kind of looked at it and thought, ooh, crikey.
Yeah.
But he just found that extra bit and that extra bit of pace and speed. And he's very, very dependable, very reliable and super quick.
Super quick, yeah. So we're looking forward to Croatia this week. David, maybe a final word then. Do you want to talk about the British Rally Championship, the second round? off the British Rally Championship. Do you know what I found most difficult to watch about that?
What's that?
It was all on Wales Rally GB stages.
Yeah.
And you would think of these great Bring names, just wonderful stages. And you know, we are fortunate in the UK in that we can run rounds of the British Championship on some of the world's best stages. But it just reminds us of what we don't have and what we should have.
Yeah, totally. It is a real shame that we're not there. Great win for Ossian Price. Mm-hmm. Lovely lad, very talented lad. So, yeah, that was good. But like you say, yeah, it is. It's hard to watch, isn't it? Because the roads are still there. The roads are still epic and still awesome. And it would be amazing to see them back there. But sadly, we won't be seeing them there anytime soon.
You know, there's a lot of chatter this weekend about various rounds of the championship. And there are so many countries looking and putting together proper efforts with proper teams putting, you know, working groups together to bring the World Championship either back or to their countries for the first time. The more we hear about these various efforts, these various countries, these various bids for the championship, the more worried I am for Rally GB. It'll get more and more difficult.
You'd have to say the further GB gets from coming back, because when you've got places like Paraguay and all of these countries that are well-funded,
yeah,
lots of government backing, lots of private sector support or whatever, it does make it very, very difficult. And yes, the championship needs the absolute classics, and it would be fantastic to go back to Wales, but you've got to pay your way. And there's so many events around the world. You know, we'll talk about New Zealand. There's speculation that they could be back here.
Yeah.
It really genuinely exciting times in WRC now, with so many countries. You know, talking to Carlos Sainz a couple of weeks ago about Canaries.
Yeah.
He's excited about it. He said, you know, that's the place to go for Spanish support.
Seriously, I mean, that's, I mean, you're on the face of it, that sounds ludicrous, because every time we go to the Costa del Sol, there's enormous Spanish support. So is Carlos saying there'll be even more people in the Canaries?
Yep.
That's astonishing. Astonishing.
He's won the event more times than anybody when it was El Corte Ingles Rally. And yeah, he said that's the place he's essentially felt most loved by the fans. So it is mad. But it's a great place, isn't it? And talking to people, you know, we've gone on about how we liked Lloret de Mar, we liked Salou, because, you know, there's cheap flights there, there's cheap accommodation there. And definitely it's the same in Las Palmas, in Gran Canaria, and in the other Canary Islands that they're going to use in the second and third years of the event. So, no, it's great. But this is the point, Colin, is that these countries are coming in with strong bids, and they're
innovative bids.
Absolutely. You know? They're raising the bar, and Britain needs to get back on it.
Absolutely needs to get back on it. And, they, you know, yeah, well, we've talked about it many times, but to be honest, they just need to get serious about it. They need to get serious, you know, and right now we're just not getting serious about
it. I'm sure, you know, that's David Richards and the team at Motorsport UK are serious about it, but somehow somebody needs to be retained to go. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend I have the answer at all. I don't. But Britain has the most remarkable heritage and history in rallying. And right now, that's been almost erased because we're becoming irrelevant.
Totally. I totally agree, David. And let's wait and see. Let's wait and see. But the problem is we can't wait too long to see, because we'll be then looking backwards with nostalgic eyes, and that'll be it. That'll be it.
It seems a little bit wrong, Colin. We've got all political and all serious when we're
exactly.
Unbelievably beautiful place. And we will try and take a photo and put something up on social.
It's watching the waves rolling in through the...
It's just stunning.
The cypress spruce trees there.
This is incredible. The best. The Central Machine Hire Otago Rally. There's a plug for our sponsors. It is the best of our sport in every direction.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. That is a very fitting way to end this edition of Spin the Rally Pod. Looking forward very much to our coverage from Croatia. It's going to be a cracking rally, that is for sure. Folks, once again, thank you very much for listening to Spin the Rally Pod.